Good morning, dear family. We are thankful for you being here. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 7? We're going to take a little detour this morning from 1 John. We'll be in Romans chapter 7. And as you find that, as you find Romans chapter 7, I want to just make a little statement here. You know, the Bible clearly affirms the equality of men and women. Did you know that? God's word did. Long before man ever decided that that needed to be done, God did that, that before him, we were equal in God's sight. If you wonder where that is, just look in Galatians chapter 3. It also tells us, though, listen, that he has very clearly assigned us some different, even though many of the same, he has assigned us some different spiritual responsibilities. Amen? Men, you have been assigned by the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the Almighty. He has given you a particular job of spiritual leadership in the home. Ladies, if your man won't, I know that there are times that you have to step up. And would you please forgive us where we fail? But men, God intended from the very beginning that you should be the head of your home as a spiritual leader, not as a dictator, but as a leader. Amen? Now, there are some folks today who might say, well, why can't both of them do it? Why can't we both be the leaders of the home? And in many ways, you are and you must. But in the end, it comes down to one very simple truth and a fundamental truth. Each and every family needs a leader. Amen? And where no leader is assigned, usually no leader steps up. And so God assigns a leader. You know, you cannot have two heads in a family. That's why Christ is over all things, and he has placed man as the head over his family. That's why the Bible says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. It didn't say, wives, be subject to somebody else's husband. It says, wives, be subject to your own husband in all things. And husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the Lord. Amen? Mini sermon before the sermon. Why do we need a head over the family? Because anything with two heads is a freak, amen? And anything with no head is dead. Which do you prefer? Neither of those. And all God's people said, amen. If the household is to function smoothly and efficiently, there must be one leader. And of course, that one ultimate leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, and then over each family as an under-shepherd, the husbands, the fathers have been placed. Folks, the buck must stop somewhere. Men, right now I pray that inside your heart you're saying, you're right, Pastor. According to God's word, the buck for my family stops right here. I am compelled this morning to call out to all men. First of all, to commiserate with you that we are not perfect. We confess that openly and honestly right now. All who agree with me say amen. Amen. We are not perfect. But that doesn't mean that we're not to keep struggling to try to be. God says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. There is our target. Don't shoot low. Shoot for what God told us to do. Don't quit on your wife and kids. Don't stop fighting for your family. And dear friends, that is the title of this morning's message. Don't stop fighting for your family. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word, Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 21. And here is our plight. For we know that the law is spiritual. Amen? But I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. Guys, can you understand? If then I do not what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. Listen, we need the law. We need the law to tell us this is wrong, this is right. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I do, will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Can anybody agree with me in that prayer? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is our struggle. There's our problem. The struggle with sin. Because in my mind and in my heart, I say, God, I'm going to do it right today. And first thing out of the door, I fall on my face. You know what that is? It is the plight of every man in this building. It is the struggle of every man in this building. So what shall I do today on Father's Day? Let's get together and let the preacher beat us up about our sin, right? Oh boy, I can't wait. Then together this morning, men, I call on you as we've read the Word of God, that you not just hear it, but that you put it to the heart and go, God, that's my struggle. I confess it. And now, Lord, I want to do better. Let me get past the front porch today before I fall on my face. And maybe tomorrow to the car. And the next day to the office. And the next day all the way back home. Guys, we all struggle with this. And I know, listen, it's men and women too. But the thing is, guys, this morning especially, here on Father's Day, I want to encourage you. We're all in this together. And I want to encourage you, don't stop fighting. Yes, we struggle, but don't quit. God has a blessing for you. Will you pray with me? Father, over these families, I pray. Lord, would you move in their hearts today, and especially, Lord, in us men, would you deliver us to the throne of our Lord God, that we might with all of our hearts pledge ourselves, Lord, to walk anew every morning, that we can get past the door. And then, Father, with each step holding on to you, make a circle back to our family, Lord, that would lead them in the path of righteousness. We need your help. Any agreements? We need your help. And that is our call to you this morning, Father. And my call as a pastor to these that I shepherd, that we would be walking ever closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? First of all, I want to tell you, gentlemen, if you would, in the bulletin this morning is an outline of the message, and it's got just a very brief briefly stated outline of each of the things I'm talking about. You can fold that and just put it in your Bible. You won't need it this morning during the message. There's no blanks to fill out there. But I want you to know, because we're going to get down to each point, and especially point number 3, where it says you must have a game plan. Folks, I want you to especially look at that and keep that, because that game plan 1 through 5 is going to be important for us every day. Because no one is perfect. No one is perfect. No one does it right every time or all the time. But because we're not perfect doesn't mean that we're a failure. Guys, listen. Satan loves to throw our mess ups in our face and say, see, you're a failure. You're good for nothing. And that's a lie. Because though we fail, we still belong to God. And guys, we can walk better. We can walk purer. We can walk for the Lord. And guys, just because we're not perfect doesn't mean that we cannot have a profoundly wonderful effect on our family, on your wife, and on your children, no matter what age they are. No matter what age. Not every man considers himself a warrior. I know this. Not every man considers himself a fighter. But that being said, there is not a man in this world that truly loves his family that would not lay himself down to protect his family. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. Every man wants to be a champion. Every man wants to be that knight in shining armor. And the very best way to do that, guys, the very best way is for every husband and every daddy to be a spiritual leader. Be the spiritual leader. That is the most wonderful thing you can do for your family. But what if you haven't been? What if you struggled with that? Maybe you're thinking, you know, I messed up my chance. My kids are getting older. My kids are growing up. Maybe they're gone out of the house. And there are many that are convinced it's just too late. I can't be the spiritual leader that I was meant to be, so I just don't think I can try. There's a lot of people that think, well, I can't do anything now. It's beyond my control. It's too late. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about that. That is a lie of Satan. That is a lie of the devil. He wants you to believe that you can't do anything so that you won't. It might be late, but dear friend, don't quit. He tries to get men to quit, but it's never too late to do some good. Do you remember the story of Sergeant York? How many in here have seen that movie or heard the story? Let me see. A few of us. Oh, man, you young'uns, you need to go watch the movie Sergeant York. Oh, what a great story. You see, Sergeant York was a guy who said, I don't want to fight. I don't want to serve my country. I don't want to fight for my family. At first, he wouldn't fight for his country or his family, but when he got his heart right and his mind right, he became one of the most decorated heroes of World War I. And by the way, this is the 80th year of celebrating the end of that war. You see, it's never too late to have some effect. So start where you are. You can't start anywhere else, right? Go, Pastor, that's profound. Start where I'm at. Well, duh. The problem is, too many aren't starting at all. Start where you are, guys. Start where you are. You may be late, but many a ball game is won in the last and final seconds. Not last night for the Astros, but many a game has. Does that mean to quit? Listen, you've got the greatest manager, owner, and supplier of all time. Of all the world, the Lord God can give you the means for victory if you will let Him. Can I say that how you finish is just as important as how you start, and maybe even more so? God has used many men and many women as heroes of faith, even those who came late to the game. Do you realize how old Moses was when he started? Do you realize how old Abraham was when he started? Folks, it is never too late to start something for your family and for the Lord. No matter where you are, young or old or somewhere in between, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or not a parent yet at all, you need to understand that you can improve your family and you can improve your fight for your family. And the information you need to win battles is not a battle secret. It is found in God's war book right here. It's found. You've got there. It's not a secret. And thus, with that information, there is absolutely no reason not to win. God gives us the answer. We can win the spiritual warfare. So where can we start? We start by fighting the greatest threat to our walk with God. And that is our own sinful nature. Battle your sinful nature. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the scripture says, listen to what it says about you, men. Listen to what it says about you, women. It says, your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. What? My heart? Yes, your heart. Every physical human being's heart is wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. Even we struggle knowing our own heart. You know, even the great men of the Bible, gentlemen, listen, even the great men of the Bible had their own difficulties. The great King David, who wrote so many psalms and was known as God's warrior, a man after God's own heart, the scripture says, he fell to a lustful heart. Moses, one of the most humble men ever recorded in the Bible, missed the promised land because he got proud. And a prideful act kept him from being able to go into God's promised land. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, turned from God and lost his kingdom. Guys, never underestimate what sin's ability can do to you. Never underestimate its effects. And never, ever, ever say, oh, a little's okay. Because a little yeast leavens the whole lump, the scripture says. Satan knows your weakness. Guys, catch my eyes if you can. Satan knows your weakness, doesn't he? Have you ever noticed that if you don't have any problems overeating, that he doesn't tempt you with pie? He always pulls something out that is attractive to you. Satan knows our weaknesses. And he's always stalking us, the scripture says. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Devour. It didn't say just to trip you up, but in other words, to devour you. God's word is telling us here, what? Always be on your guard. Not sometimes, always be on your guard. Never let pride put you at risk. Yield to God. Seek his help. So many men fall because in pride they say, I've got this. I don't need any help. You remember the guy that was up on that 5-story roof and he was fixing the shingles, and as he got up there, he slipped because it was so steep, and as he started going down, he was going to fall over the side, surely to die, and he started calling out, God help, God help, God help, God help, and God had a big old 16-penny nail jump up out of the decking, caught him by the britches, and he hung right there over the edge going, whew. He said, that's okay, I've got it. I wonder how many of us are hanging by the balance saying, God, I've got it. Do you have it? Oh, you've got it, but it's not what you want. A sin nature that needs to be surrendered to God the Father. Dear friends, we are to be seeking God and confessing to God. So many men fall because they say, I've got it, I don't need help. Yes, you do. Every one of us do. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Just when you think you've got it covered is when we fall. This reminds us, folks, it's better to be humble, confess our need for help, in other words, than to fall into a pit of sin because of our pride. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, just two verses later, it says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. Oh, man. Guys, did you say that? Who's going to find good? Who finds the good? Those who heed, who listen to, and follow the word wisely. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? That's what the word blessed means, by the way, happy. You want to be happy? Then wisely follow the word of God. Start by fighting the greatest threat to our walk with God, our sinful nature. Second thing is, know your own area of weakness and guard against it. How crazy we would be to line all of our defenses up on the area that we don't struggle in. And yet that's what we like to do. We like to spend our time there because that's where our victories are. But the places where we don't have victories, where we need the help. Know your area of weakness. You know, did you know that Satan cannot make you sin? Anybody remember Flip Wilson and Geraldine? Anybody? What was his famous line? The devil made me do it. That's not true. The devil can't make you do anything. Amen? Now, he can tempt you to it. He can tempt you to it. Satan cannot make you sin. But you know what he can do? He can stir you up. He can sure stir you up. He works overtime to awaken in us the desires that lead us to sin, men and women. And he'll use circumstances, good or bad, by the way. He'll use good circumstances to lull us to sleep. He'll use bad circumstances to stir up our sinful tendencies. He'll use pressure. He'll use persuasion. He'll use suggestion to tempt us at our point of weakness. Satan knows the area of sin that you have not mastered. He knows what it is. If we lust for power, he tempts us with position. If we lust for the things of the world, he'll distract us with money. If it's sex, temptations and opportunities will be common. If it's gossip, there will be no lack of people sharing with us the latest tidbit for us to share with somebody else. But the way to overcome any area in which we are tempted is to first recognize it and go, that's an area that I struggle. Confess it to yourself. Confess your weakness to yourself and then confess it to God. And when you confess it to God, turn to the Lord in humility and dependence and ask for help. You know that the Bible tells us you have not because you ask not. You want help? Ask God. If we want victory over sin, ask God. And the next step is this. You've got to have a game plan. If you, we had a pastor who came in and was our interim for a number of times, Ray Mayfield. Mom, you remember Ray? He was our interim pastor. And one of his favorite phrases was, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. There's some wisdom in that. How many of you fail to plan? Look, you'll make a plan for your vacation. You'll make a plan for your job. You'll make a plan for your retirement. Make a plan for your daily victory over sin. Amen? Guys, there's what we need to do. Make a plan for our victory over sin. What do we need to do? Here is a simple 5-step plan. That's why I wrote it out in the bulletin and why you need to put it in your Bible. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your bathroom mirror and read these every day. First and foremost, how can we have victory over sin? Number one, read and memorize Scripture. How in the world is that going to help me? Scripture going to? Yes, it will help you. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. And by saturating your mind with the Word of God, you are less susceptible to forgetting God's promise. Hold to the promise. When Jesus was tempted, he showed us how we are to fight our temptations. When he was tempted, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 4 there, it says that when he was tempted, he didn't look at Satan and say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that what he said? No. He said, it is written. What did he mean? It is written. The Word of God. And then he would quote Scripture at the devil who was tempting him to sin. That's exactly what we need to be doing. We don't need to be saying, I've got this. I've got this, Lord. We We need to be saying, God, help me to remember your word and remember his word. When Satan tempted Jesus, he used scripture. We need to do the same. Remember when you were a child in Vacation Bible School or Sunbeams or whatever it was? Psalms 119:11 was one of the scriptures that we usually learned. And if you say the pledge to the flags and the Bible and the Christian flag, do you remember when we said those in VBS? Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart. Why? Say it out loud. That I might not sin against you. Psalms 119 verse 5 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why? Because we stumble in the darkness. But with God's word, it lights our path. Memorize the scripture. It does make a difference to be able to call on. Listen, what good does it do to have a gun if you don't have any bullets? You've got a heart. You've got salvation. Load it with the bullets of God. It's more like a bazooka to the devil. Read and memorize scripture. Number two, develop a daily time with God. Amen. Guys, we need to have a daily time with God. Meeting him daily does something for us. It orients us to him. It gives us a daily strength and a focus. There was never a great saint without a great time with God. The third thing, create an environment of godliness. Guys, if there is anything questionable in your home, get rid of it. Ladies, help with this. Literally, how do you do this? Remove the ungodly things and replace it with godly things. Books, programs, TVs, hearts, attitude, pictures, magazines, whatever it happens to be. What you see, what you hear, what you read, your music, your literature, your TV, your friends may need to be replaced. If they are not godly, I'm not saying to no longer be a witness to them. I'm telling you, quit sitting in their counsel. Quit walking with them in this world. Scripture says, go back and read Psalm 1. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says this, watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. Watch yourself. Create an environment of godliness and stay with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us this. You know the scripture. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, what is that scripture saying? Is it saying that we will never be tempted? No. That's not what this says. It never says we won't be tempted. It says that God will always provide a way of escape. In other words, when you are tempted, you never can say, the devil made me do it. God always provides a way of escape. The question is, ladies, gentlemen, the question is, will we take the escape when God provides it? One, read and memorize the scripture. Two, develop a daily time with God. Three, create an environment of godliness. And four, when tempted, stand immediately against it. Hello? Immediately against it. The longer we debate temptation, the more likely we're going to give in. Do you remember the story of Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house and it said that Potiphar's wife wanted him and that she would approach him and she caught him and he turned her down several times? Well, she made sure one day that the house was empty and that he was in there alone, and she came to him and she said, I want you. And he said, no. She said, no, I want you. And so did he say, well, let's sit down on the couch and talk about it. Fail. Scripture says he did what? Do you remember the one word? He ran. Did he walk? Did he jog? Did he hide? He ran. Guys, look at me. Look at me. These old legs don't move very fast, but they can still run. Spiritually, we need to learn to run. The scripture says, run. When tempted, stand immediately against it. Don't think about it and go, well, how can I get away with this? You've already sinned then in your heart. And then when it's taken to the body, you've sinned in the body. Don't debate temptation. Guys, there's a word for that. Stupidity. When we debate sin, we lose. Memorize the scripture. Read it and memorize it. Develop a daily time with God. Create an environment of godliness. When tempted, stand when? Immediately against it. And number five, get some help. Get some help. You were not meant to walk alone. God intended your spouse, if you're married, to walk with you. And when you marry, for your spouse to walk with you, man or male or female, God meant for you to walk together, husbands and wives. But also God intended for you to use the Christian men who surround you. That's why you need church. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. All of you who forgot to go to church today, would you hear this? How can they hear it if they're not here? Guys, I'm so thankful that you're here today. I don't want you to feel like you're getting beat up today. I want you to leave out of here feeling like you're more equipped to do a better job to battle for your family. Guys, none of us are perfect, but we've got to try. Get some help. I'm going to say one more time. You were not meant to walk alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 through 12 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, I know that is a condensation of those scriptures. A threefold cord. What does he mean by that? Come here, brother. If I may. Thank you. I call my brother and I need some help. I say, pray for me. I say, stand with me. And how many of us are there here? Hey, good answer. Who said? Everybody said that. One, two, three. You got it? You got it? Do you need it one more time? One, two. Thank you, brother. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Guys, you can be a part of an accountability group. And as a matter of fact, we have a program here that we call Iron Sharpens Iron. And you can be a part of a small group that meets together regularly. As a matter of fact, guys, I want you to look back there in the back where Jonathan's bouncing that little baby. Right there underneath the light it's called the welcome desk. Guys, look back there. You see welcome desk. On that welcome desk should be some little forms where you can fill it out to say, help me find a group, and we will help you find a group of men to meet with you once a week, to talk together, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to sharpen each other with the word. Be a part of an accountability group. So let's go through it one more time. Read and memorize the scripture. Develop a daily time with God. Create an environment of godliness. When tempted, run. I like it. Run. Stand immediately against it. And five, get some help. Don't do it alone. That's why we're here. We're not like family. So here's the key to victory for your family, men and women. Here's the key for your family. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Focus on God. If you focus on your sin, you tend to go that way. Have you noticed that when you're driving, that if you look off over to the side at something on the side of the road, you tend to go that way? Have you noticed? Yeah, it's a fact. That's why they say, keep your eyes on the road. Folks, you tend to go where your eyes are focused. Focus your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Listen to Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, what does it mean good? It means focused in the right direction. But if your eye is bad, which means focused in the wrong direction, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, when you're in the darkness, you have trouble making out anything right. Focus on God. He is the light. God is the Father of light. If you focus on what is right, you're going to make it. What's your family focus? If your focus is wrong, even if it's a good worldly thing, if your focus is not God, it's wrong. Oh, you're in big trouble. Your darkness, how great is that darkness? Mom and dad, make a commitment this morning. Dads, as the spiritual leader of your family, lead your family to make a commitment this morning to have victory in Jesus, to have victory in Christ. And dads and moms, here's something to close out. Let your family know that you love them. Amen. When's the last time you told your family that you love them? When's the last time you told your wife? When's the last time you told your husband? When's the last time you told your kids? When's the last time you told your parents that you love them? Tell them you love them. You know something else they need to hear? They need to hear that you know you're not perfect. They already know it. But it sure is nice to know that they know you know it. Because we are not perfect. You know something else I believe that they really need to know? They need to know you love them. They need to know that you know you're not perfect. But here's the last one. They need to know that you will keep looking to God to do better. And with that, they will be encouraged with you. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power in Jesus. Thank you for the light that dispels the darkness. Thank you for your word that can give us strength. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will accomplish it for us. Thank you for your Son, Lord God, for the life he brings. We are thankful. Help us, Lord, to be focused on having a godly plan. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, can I call on you, starting with the men? Men, would you pray with me right now? Would you pray and just say, God, help me to focus on you. Help me to put the light in my heart from you. God, help me to dispel the darkness, to get the things in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my home, at my job, in my car, wherever it happens to be, to make it a place of godliness. Would you confess your weaknesses to the Father and ask him for his help? Will you, guys, will you take another step and find someone to help sharpen you and pray with you weekly?